You are listening to yet another one of the fine members of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Find more of the member shows over at techpodcasts.com.
Welcome to Tech Webcast, Australia's leading technology show. Download our iPhone app, www.techwebcast.info. Welcome to episode 124 of the Tech Webcast podcast, recorded on Saturday, the 7th of May, 2011. Today's hosts are Brad and Jason with Aaron and special guest Alex from appsperhaps.com, creator of the Oz TV app. How you doing, Brad?
Hey, Jason. What's up, mate?
Starting to get a bit chilly, but it's still sunny outside, so I'm happy.
Good stuff, mate. How's your week been?
Not too bad. Got some more credit on my apps on the iTunes, so I'll be getting some more apps and them out. Got to get some more reviews done soon. I haven't done any for a while.
Good stuff, mate. Good stuff.
Got feeding mine. Them into the youtube.com/techwebcastau
wicked
site, so okay. People can keep seeing some info there until we get permission to upload these longer videos to there.
Good stuff, mate. Good stuff. What else has been happening with you? Any other new products you've been buying or anything like that?
No, I haven't bought anything. A friend of mine finally got his iPad 2.
Good stuff.
But I believe we're also being rebroadcast Thursdays, is it?
Yep. On the AussieTechHeads.com.au.
Yeah.
That's good.
That's great.
Thanks, Glenn, for doing that for us, mate. That's really
good
cool.
To have that connection there.
It is, indeed.
How's Aaron doing?
I'm doing well, mate.
Okay, Aaron sounds like he's in a bathroom.
Oh, yeah, you caught me out. Now, I'm doing well. I'm just, been working hard all week and went out to see Gizmodo during the week, doing the meetups with everyone in Brisbane, Melbourne and Sydney. So I went to the Brisbane one and that was really awesome. The guys are really down to earth and even the Microsoft guy there, he's just got a really strong background in non-Microsoft technologies. Sending out a guy like that, gives the guy a lot of credibility, because he's not going to be there singing the company song like it's, the only thing that exists. So, really awesome dudes, and Glenn from Aussie Tech Heads came with me, and we had a good time. Actually, won a Microsoft Arc mouse as well.
Oh, good.
Hey, that's neat.
Oh, good stuff, mate.
I was impressed that I won it, but I sort of don't like it.
Well, hey, if you don't want it, send it to us, and we'll give it away.
Give it away now.
All right. Well, we'll see about that.
No, we'll see what happens. No, you don't have to. We have Alex. How are you, Alex?
Good, thanks.
That's the way, mate. So what do you do? Tell us what you do.
So I'm the designer at Apps Perhaps. There's only the two of us, myself and Jeff.
Yep.
Our first app, well, our only app that's out there at the moment is Oz TV.
Okay.
The TV guide on iPhone. I just design the interface and the experience, the interactions, and work with Jeff to help build it and get it into the App Store.
Good stuff. So how did you all get started in designing the application and stuff?
Well, Jeff and I met at our old work. Obviously, we've only recently gone full-time. There's not as much money as people think, I think, in the app industry. But we were working full-time at our old jobs, and we'd worked on a few apps for that company. We decided that in our spare time we'd create something that we had kind of complete control over and create the kind of experience that we really wanted to be associated with our names. So, we just started making an app, and eventually that turned into Oz TV.
Good stuff. Yeah, I actually use the application on my phone as a main TV guide, but I really want it on the iPad. Is it going to happen anytime soon?
It's under construction at the moment. We've been working on it now for a few weeks at least. It's been a lot of work, probably a lot more work than we originally anticipated, but that's kind of just what happens in the way that we prototype and we try out ideas and we constantly iterate and try to improve on what we've got. So
okay.
What starts out as just we think we can do this in a short amount of time, as we start seeing things, we get excited, we try ideas. Some of them work, some of them don't work. And then, that obviously adds time to development, but ultimately it makes it much better app.
For sure, yeah. Have you had many downloads of the application on the App Store?
On the iPhone, yeah, we've had quite a few. I can't go into exact numbers. We've got agreements with our data provider. So basically, we've had a lot. I mean, we've been in the top 50 for probably about half the time we've been out, and for the rest of the other half, in the top 100 or so. So we've done really well, and we're pretty happy with that, and thankful for all the people that have downloaded it and helped us kind of be able to support ourselves to this little time where we can work on updates and, you know, not have to work on day jobs and do this in the evenings.
Yeah, it's good stuff. Are you in competition with any other applications to do with TV guides?
Well, there's a few others out there, but I think the difference that we bring to the table, obviously we are one of the more premium guides out there. We're not free. We're $249. So, but the difference really there is that we really do focus, as I said, on the experience, and we listen to the users, and we get feedback, and we try to constantly, you know, improve the app and take on board suggestions. So, you know, it's not a free app, but at the same time, what that gives you is a more reliable number of updates and improvements. And we've done some dramatic improvements. I say we've only got the one app out there, but it feels like almost like a movie. We've made three movies in the same series, kind of thing. It's
okay.
They've been pretty significant updates. The first release, the first version of OzTV probably took about 6 months. The second update probably took about 3 months, and the latest one we've done took about 2.5 months. So, you know, those are almost apps in themselves. Wow. And we've really kind of built upon the app.
Okay. All right. I'm sure Jason got some questions for you.
Yeah, do you get a lot of feedback and feature requests?
We do, yeah. We initially got so many it was almost uncontrollable. We had worked pretty hard, and we were working full time, and Jeff's got a family as well. He's got a little boy. So it took its toll, kind of, because we were working weekends, working evenings, as well as doing our day jobs. And we got to the end, we released, and suddenly we just got hammered with feedback. Just so many emails, thousands of emails we've received. And
well, it's a good news, because at least you know there's people actually downloading and enjoying it. If they get
exactly
feedback. You know, most people who don't like something don't give feedback. They just go to somewhere else and delete it. But, you know, if you're getting a response, then you must be doing something right.
Yeah, thanks. I hope so. We like to kind of give a response back to all those people as well that take the time. So Jeff's mainly the one on the email, and he reads all the emails and gets back to people if they're having problems or if they've got suggestions. And we've got a long kind of list, which is getting slowly shorter, of things that people are asking for. You know, generally, we're already aware of almost everything, but you've only got a limited amount of time, and you've got to, you know, choose where you spend it. So there's lots of requests that we really wish we could get out to people sooner, but things take time.
So the app is written in Xcode, and the back end is like PHP, MySQL or something?
Something like that, yeah. Jeff would be able to tell you more detail. He's from a more kind of mobile web background. So he did Java and used to do mobile web apps before moving into iOS dev. And so he's done a whole back end that basically takes in all of the data. And now we actually have a search function on the site, on the app as well, where you can obviously search the whole guide. So he's had to build this whole architecture in the background, as well as building the front end application that everyone downloads.
That's very helpful. It's always good to be able to search for what you're looking for rather than just flick through pages and pages trying to find out what day it's on and what time.
Yeah, no, I agree. And we kind of, with that, we could have just put in search, but we tried to also integrate it into the core experience, because obviously if you just put a search icon somewhere, it ends up being a secondary piece of functionality. You know, most people are going there, they want to see what's on TV now, they want to browse the guide. So what we did was we looked at ways we could bring that into the guide rather than that secondary scenario of I'm very much looking for a show. So we wanted to support that, but then when you browse the guide and you select on a show, you can see all of the upcoming episodes for that show. And in the future, it's going to power some of our other features that we're going to bring, like favorites. So we knew we had to invest a significant amount of time in it, and we wouldn't have really been able to justify that unless, you know, we really found a way to implement it throughout the whole application. So I think it's really good. It was an interesting update when we put in search. We were surprised at how useful it kind of became as we put it into all these different areas of the app.
Yeah, I saw Yahoo bought a company recently that does audio tagging. That would be, I don't know if they would, they probably wouldn't be providing an API that you could use, but it would be very useful to be able to tag the show that you're currently watching so that you could look up what it's called and the times that it's on.
Mm, absolutely, yeah. It's the whole kind of custom guide and I think, yeah, the whole favorites model and being able to really kind of find things that are that mean something to you is definitely the future of the guide. Right now we've got a very kind of traditional guide, but I think exploring definitely social and favorites and things like that is where we want to take the app.
There's so much more you can do with an electronic version with all that data rather than just, you know, displaying it on the screen and showing people what's there, isn't there?
Yeah, exactly, exactly. Yeah, but
do you think you'll have some sort of functionality like Get Glue?
Well, it's interesting. We've definitely got a lot of different designs. We've always had a lot of different designs. I can't stop sketching stuff up, basically. So we've got lots of different ideas about things we can do. We definitely like to explore some of the social aspects, like Get Glue, so people checking into shows and seeing what's on. But right now, we're not currently working on it. It was one of the kind of original things we wanted to do with OzTV, but we weren't really sure how successful it was going to be, I guess, when we first released. We just tried to create a unique take on a TV guide and put it out into the market with this plan of going in a certain direction. And then when the uptake was so big and we got so much feedback and it was pretty obvious that people were looking for a really good TV guide, just a solid TV guide experience, we decided to focus our efforts there. And you know, I think it was the right choice at that time. But now, obviously, we've kind of built out the guide. We've got a lot more of the core kind of functionality that people want from a TV guide. So it's definitely on the table to look at for upcoming updates.
Yeah, it's a good idea to start off and get a nice solid app with a bunch of features that people are really looking for that's perhaps not in other TV guide apps, and then have a roadmap to the future to add on social and that sort of thing down the path.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, I think one of the biggest barriers that a lot of the social TV apps face is that lack of value that they offer without so much user input. Like, I have to go in, I have to potentially register, I have to then just search for a show, and then I have to click on something, then I have to share, and I have to do all these steps before the app actually starts giving me any kind of value. And perhaps I even have to use it for a little while. I can't just kind of open the app, see what's on, see what other people are watching. And that's really, I think, a big barrier right now for the social TV and something that we don't want to have. We always approached OzTV from that immediacy point of view. Like, you launch the app, bang, you see what's on now. And you don't have to log in. You don't have to do anything to get a lot of value back from the app.
Yeah, and I suppose if you had something like Facebook or Twitter for OAuth authorization for a login, then you wouldn't need to have a specific one for just your site. And then people could see, say they went to see what was on tonight, they're watching Scrubs and they click on it, shows more info about it, and it also has a list down the side of that to show what of their Twitter friends are currently watching that same show.
Yeah, exactly. We don't really intend on going down any kind of custom login route. I definitely think we'll be using Facebook or Twitter to do those kind of
features. It's already there, why reinvent the wheel?
Exactly.
Cool.
Hey, Alex, I was just going to ask, we've been trying to guess what we think some of the new features of the next iPhone will be. Being an iOS developer yourself, what do you think the next iPhone will have in it?
Ah, it's a good question, and one that I don't really have an answer for. I've only just got my iPad 2, and I've only had an iPhone 4 for about a month now. So I haven't really done any real speculation on that front. Obviously, I mean, my current awareness of it is that it's just going to be just a more powerful iPhone 4. It'd be surprising if they did anything revolutionary with it. I mean, with my iPad 2 that I just got a couple of days ago, I'm surprised by how useful I've found the cameras so far, which was definitely interesting when I saw all of the commercials of people holding their giant tablet up and doing FaceTime with it. I was a bit skeptical, but I've actually used it quite a bit for Skype and for video calls.
Yeah, it works quite well for that, doesn't it?
It does, and you know, like the Skype native app, it's obviously not even iPad native, but when you enlarge a video call, it doesn't really matter anymore, you know? The video is full screen.
It still looks quite well.
Yeah, exactly. So, sorry, I don't really have an answer for iPhone 5, I haven't really done too much thinking about that or research at the time.
Yeah, I've heard rumors that they think that maybe the next one's just going to be like an iPhone 4S.
Yeah.
Like the 3GS was a speed up and the 4S is a speed up, and then 5 maybe in a year or a couple of years or something, and it's going to have a lot of cloud stuff in there because Apple supposedly bought iCloud.com recently.
Yeah, I mean, there was a lot of talk not that long ago about the whole iTunes cloud as well, and it'll be interesting to see what happens there. I mean, that's something I'd be really keen for.
It might even happen next month. The iOS 5 is being announced next month. And, they could very well change a whole bunch of things in the operating system. I wonder how those changes might affect OzTV. One thing I was speculating on is I think they might do stretchable displays so that they can sort of go after more screen sizes, like a giant iPod Touch and a larger iPhone and that sort of stuff.
Yeah, if they do, that'll be a nightmare. I've made a few Android apps, as part of a bigger company, and the variance in screen widths and heights it would fundamentally change the way that we kind of approach making apps, I think. Almost everything in OzTV is custom. Almost everything in OzTV is custom. I can't remember how many hundreds of graphics we've got in there, and then you've obviously got the Retina set as well, and that's because we can work with a fixed size. We're able to kind of invest the time, but I think if we were really looking at screens of varying dimensions and resolutions, that we'd probably have to simplify things if we were going to be able to support them. I just don't think it would be really... It wouldn't allow us to have the control that we would want to do these kind of pixel-perfect renderings. So we definitely have to rethink things a little bit, I think.
So it doesn't look as though there would be any plans for an OzTV app for the Android then?
We've sort of discussed it, but I think the big thing we're waiting on there is, I know there's a lot of Android phones out there, but obviously, from the figures that we've seen, they don't kind of have the economy that the App Store has at the moment. So,
and too much fragmentation.
And a lot of fragmentation, a lot of versions of the OS. I actually wrote like a blog post recently, and by the end of the blog post, I realized what I really wanted to write about. It started out talking about kind of Retina and how just kind of when the iPhone 4 came out, I'd been designing everything in Photoshop at the 3G resolution of 320x480, and then with the Retina ones, we thought we could just kind of scale things up. Everything was kind of vector, so it scaled up, but it doesn't really translate like that. And by the end of the post, I realized that what I was really talking about was that we were just getting a lot of, even within the iPhone market right now, there's a fair bit of variance with 3G, the 3GS, the 4, different power, obviously different resolutions. And then you've got the different OS combinations that you can have on any one of those. And if you then start thinking universal app with iPad, you're ending up with a lot of different combinations and variants. And we're already having to drop graphics out of some of the iOS 3 apps that you get on your iOS 3 and having to do different tricks to kind of get things to work smoothly. So It's already slowly happening to iPhone, but if they make that step of stretchable UIs, unless they do something really, really clever, it's going to make it even harder.
So, Alex, next question to you, mate. What's going to be in the next version of the application? Any sort of new features coming up or anything like that?
So we're working slowly. As there's only the two of us, we're mainly focusing on iPad.
iPad, yeah, that's good.
Because we really want to get that out.
And, yeah, for sure.
The last OzTV update that we did took a little bit longer than we hoped. That complexity of all the different devices at the end with the search functionality that we made just made for a lot of testing. We probably spent about 3 or 4 weeks testing what took about 8 weeks to create. So It was a significant overhead at the end. From there, we've moved straight onto iPad. But in the meantime, we have been kind of working on an OzTV update in the background. The last one, you see down the bottom, we obviously put in the little star, which is the favorites. And when we built search, we knew that was going to happen. So we weren't sure if it was going to make it into that update. But as time went on, we quickly realized that we weren't going to have time to get favorites and search in the same update. So that's what fell out, and that's what will be in the next one. Favorites functionality and bug fixes and various other little improvements.
Cool. So roughly, how long before the iPad app will be out? And can you give us any sort of... run down? I'm not really not sort of run down, but sort of give us some sort of info on the application, or is it going to
be
the same?
Well, I can't give you an exact date. We don't, like a lot of developers, we don't kind of work to on our own things. We don't work to a specific release date. But we're hoping within the next maybe 6 weeks or so. Just depends on how things go. What we did, basically, it's not going to be a universal. We're not going to modify Oz TV and make it a universal app. It's going to be a new app. So it will be in another download. But we have to do it like this, really, to be able to fund it, to be able to afford to create this. So basically, all of the updates and everything that's happened with Oz TV has really come about because of the downloads that we've received, and that's been really great. So if we were to release iPad without the ability to kind of sell copies, then it would be very hard for us to sustain it and to keep the updates. You know, making a really great app, I don't think, is about that first release. It's about ongoing support, ongoing updates, listening to people, and over time improving what you've got. So we want to make sure we can do that with iPad in the same way that we've done it with iPhone.
I guess you also have to toss up whether if you're going to use the universal, it's going to bloat out the size of it, and you could keep two half-size apps, or you could have one giant app, which you also have to work out whether people would support that or if they would prefer to have a smaller app.
Somebody yeah, absolutely. Got
a 3GS with only 8 gig has limited memory.
That's a really good point. Yeah, we're actually, like, some of the images that are going to go into the iPad version, some of the textures, unless I figure out a way to make them tileable, it's going to be a fairly, you know, hefty download if we were to make that universal. So yeah, good point. We basically are really taking the approach with iPad that we're going to make the best kind of iPad experience we can, while being kind of smart around what we can reuse from what we've created for iPhone. There's no point in reinventing the wheel if you don't have to. But with the first Oz TV, we had a very specific kind of idea. We wanted to create a very alternative TV guide in terms of the interface, the approach that we took to it. Since then, obviously, we found that there was a market for just a fairly grid-based TV guide. And that's kind of the approach more that we're taking with iPad. So it's going to be largely a big grid. And we're just doing everything we can to, as we prototype and use it, to kind of make that experience really sing on the iPad. Not just kind of whack a grid on, do some popovers. We're really looking at what we can do custom from panels coming out and hovering things and looking at the timeline, looking at the way that you, when you've got a lot of data on screen, when you've got a lot of shows and then a lot of hours, it can become a little bit overwhelming, and doing what we can there to help people navigate through the day and make it a really seamless experience.
Do you have somewhere that people can sign up to do beta testing, and do you have a lot of beta testers at the moment?
Not right now, but we are going to do that. Yeah, it's a good question. We're probably going to announce something in the next couple of weeks. We'll probably just do it by Twitter. So we're just apps perhaps on Twitter.
Have you seen the application test flight and the website that lets iOS do really easy beta testing?
Yeah, we use TestFlight. We've used it just for the last update, and we're using it for iPad at the moment. We've got a few. There's only the two of us as part of apps, perhaps, but we've got a few other volunteers from around the place, people that we know professionally, and some friends and family that we've used for beta testing in the past. But I think we definitely, now that TestFlight's available, because in the past we had to obviously add UDIDs to a certificate and send that out.
It can be painful.
It was massively painful. People had to sync their iPad or their iPhones, and you know, they lose. No, most people don't understand what's going to happen when they sync their iPhone to a device. Like, even I don't. My new iPad 2, I synced it back to my computer, and it decided to delete all my apps, and then I had to tick something. It's just confusing. Like, everyone's confused. So anyway, that was a nightmare. TestFlight takes away all of that, and it's like magic. I mean, I'm still impressed by it.
What's your favorite application on the iPad at the moment, Alex? I can recommend a few bits here.
You'd be surprised. The thing that's given me the most fun when Jeff was here yesterday was just the photo booth app.
Oh, yeah, great. Yeah, good app. And Flipboard. Get a Flipboard, mate.
I've got Flipboard as well. That's great. I'd probably say that and Twitter are my most used at the moment.
Yeah, and the Show You app. That's a good application too.
Show You?
Yeah, Show You.
Okay, I'll give it a try.
Yeah, check it out. Also, Glenn from Aussie TechEd's are in the chat room. Hello, Glenn. And Glenn's there.
Good to see some people checking out the live stream.
Yeah, good stuff.
Got a few people on there today, 4 viewers so far.
Yeah, wouldn't need more. All right, Jason, let's get over to the tech news, mate. What's been happening in the past week or so.
Okay. Google and Facebook have both had discussions with internet telephony pioneer Skype about possible joint venture, according to a Reuters report. Additionally, Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg has had what Reuters calls internal discussions about the possibility of buying Skype outright. The Reuters report, which cites two anonymous sources, comes from 3 months after Skype delayed its highly anticipated IPO following the hiring of a new CEO, former Cisco executive Tony Bates. One of the sources cited by Reuters said that an outright buyout of Skype could value the company at between $3 billion and $4 billion. In November 2009, eBay sold 70% of Skype to a consortium of private investors led by a private equity firm Silver Lake. Netscape founder Mark Andreessen's firm Andreessen Horowitz was also part of the group, as were Skype co-founders Niklas Zennström and Jonas Fries. That transaction followed an acronymous soap opera about Skype's fate, complete with lawsuits and accusations of backstabbing, dishonesty, and outright theft. Private equity investors are just that, investors. So it's natural that Silver Lake and friends would be looking for an exit, whether it's an IPO or a sale. That said, it's hard to see why Google would want to buy Skype, given that the search giant already has its own internet phone service tightly integrated into Gmail and Google Voice. Skype deal with Facebook is more plausible, since voice communication is the one thing the world's largest social network lacks, and it would seem an overwhelming number of members want it, and Facebook certainly has the resources to acquire whatever it wants. Then again, this may be just another example of that old Silicon Valley adage, everybody talks to everybody. A group of students from the University of Canberra have developed a system that can read people's thoughts and translate them into words on a computer screen. The BrainSpeller headset turns into signals being sent from the brain using electrodes attached to the scalp. Once the signals have been detected, a software program can translate them into words, allowing sufferers of paralysis, brain damage, or dementia to communicate. Users are given a portable computer which runs the program. Approximately 350,200 Australians need assistance to communicate or have trouble doing so due to disability or disease, according to the Australian Bureau of Statistics. Team leader Paul Du said that he hoped the system would be used to help dementia sufferers and people with severe physical disabilities to improve communication between patients, carers, and their families. The whole idea was we were doing some research and we just found that the disability statistics were so vast in Australia and all around the world, Mr. Du told the news.com.au. We're excited by the opportunity to combine imagination and technology to create a product that will improve lives and genuinely help an issue that affects so many people in this country. For their invention, Mr. Du and his team were crowned Team Australia at the national finals of Microsoft's Imagine Cup 2011 last night at the Powerhouse Museum in Sydney. Australian tablet buyers are about to be spoiled for choice after Motorola revealed its first tablet would go on sale in Australia in weeks, just as Samsung's second tablet reaches local shores. Both are part of a new wave of tablet computers powered by Google software, and each is available at significant discount for those willing to commit to the devices for 2 years. Motorola's Zoom is the latest tablet slated for an Australia launch and will feature more grunt than the iPad 2, but is priced just one more dollar than the Apple equivalent. Motorola Australia marketing director Barry Smythe admitted the company had timed its run at the tablet market later than some, but said the Zoom offered more features than that of its early competitors. Obviously, there are other tablet options out there, and we could have brought a tablet out earlier, but we wanted to put the right tablet out there with our first model, he said. We made this model as future-proof as we could. The 10.1-inch Zoom is powered by a speedy 1 GHz dual-core processor and 1 GB of RAM, and features a 5-megapixel camera, full high-definition screen, extra connections, and was the reference design on which Google created and tested its first Android tablet software, Mr. Smythe said. It will cost $840 when it is launched on May 24, but Telstra will offer the tablet for $360 over 2 years on its 12-gig $79 plan. Telstra Services Director Andrew Vollard said the decision to offer the tablet on a pay-as-you-go plan was an experiment and one he hoped consumers would consider an interest-free loan. The other tablet arriving in Australia this week, Samsung's Galaxy Tab 10.1, will also be available on a two-year $39 plan or for $729 outright through Vodafone. And finally, basement dwellers everywhere can finally get some action. Scientists at the Kajimoto Laboratory at the University of Electrocommunications in Tokyo are developing a gadget that can digitally transmit the sensation of kissing. The device consists of a straw attached to a handheld box. You stick the straw in your mouth and twirl it around with your tongue. The movement of the tongue is then replicated by a corresponding box, the straw of which should ideally be placed in your makeout partner's mouth. The video footage of the kissing box published by diginfo.tv shows it in action. However, it looks as if only one tongue's movement can be communicated at a time. We assume this means that, as in a waltz, one member of the pair will have to take the lead to avoid a kissing box meltdown. The boxes are connected via the internet and also apparently record the taste of a person's mouth, the manner of their breathing, and the moistness of the tongue. They can also record customized kissing information, meaning it may be possible to emulate the kissing style of specific people.
Good
and
stuff.
That's the news for today.
Good stuff, Warlock. Good stuff, mate. Now, where was that? Where are them news articles from, mate?
I mostly get mine from news.com.au.
Oh, okay. Wicked, mate. Wicked. All right. So, Alex, any last words before we go, mate? About the application?
No, just thanks for having me on.
Good, mate.
Thanks for listening.
All good.
We're really excited by the iPad version that's coming out. Thanks everyone that's downloaded OzTV and hit us up on Twitter, apps perhaps, and we're going to be announcing beta testing soon.
Good stuff.
And there'll also be obviously a load of promotions, and I'm sure we'll contact you guys as well with some promo codes when we're ready to launch.
Excellent.
Sure.
We look forward to having you back on after the iPad version comes out, and we might do a review of it for people.
Yeah, that'd be great. And also maybe, I can talk to Jeff. He's a bit shy. He might want to come on. You can ask him really technical questions.
That'd be awesome. I'm just a designer.
I don't know.
Jeff,
I'm an amateur programmer myself, so I like to have a chat about technical stuff.
Yeah, well, I'm sure Jeff would love that. So, maybe when we do iPad, Jeff can come on and talk with you guys.
Sure thing, mate.
That's it for Tech Webcast. You can find me at jasonoakley.me website or on Twitter, Warlock, WAULOK, and Brad.
You can find me at Brad Oz, Tech Webcast, and Tech Luster.
And Aaron.
You can find me on Twitter at OzTechNews, OZ Tech News, and also OzTechNews.com.
Cool.
Good stuff. Next week, we're going to have Anna from Geeks Uncensored.
Cool.
She's going to be on
next
week. That's going to be cool. Can't wait for that. And that's it. Episode 124. Thanks, Jason.
No worries.
And thanks to Aaron and Alex.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you. Top.
You are listening to yet another one of the fine members of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Find more of the member shows over at techpodcasts.com.
Australia's leading technology webcast.